and we're nothing. I want to hook in before I start what Brother Nelson was saying about the light. Several years ago, we attended a, I guess you'd call it a professional gospel singing. The Gaither Homecoming, best I remember. So it was Oklahoma City, only one I've ever gone to. And there was a song sung that night by a singer, "I Saw the Light." Now, brother, if he was in the Spirit, he was in the Spirit. He was getting it. I mean, it was good, too. And I got to looking and thinking about what that man was saying, and I thought, I'm thankful I saw the light. Now then, the light can shine, but if you don't see it, it don't do you any good. And the thing of it is, here today, God shines His light, and I'm not talking about the sunlight, I'm talking about the spiritual light. He's shining it, but are you getting the light? Are you looking at it, receiving it, understanding it, reaching for it, and deciding, I need that light? That's what I want. God's shining down on you. He's taking time to spend time with you. Right here in this meeting, God is illuminating and working, but if we don't see it, folks, it's not going to do us any good. We need to look at it and say, I want that light. I want what God has got for me today, tonight, in this meeting. I want that. Are we getting it? Are we desiring it? Are we reaching out for it? I mean, he was coming down on it. And the more he sang, the more blessed I got, so to speak. I thought, thank the Lord, I saw the light. I saw it, Brother Michael. I still see it. I'm still wanting more light. We'll never get all the light. In other words, I mean, we can grow and grow and grow and grow, but he can give more and more and more and more. And the more we get, the better we like it. All right, let's turn to my text. And again, I desire and beg for your prayers. This is something new, Brother Michael, but I'm afraid that little critter is going to get in my way. So I'm going to shut it. All right, let's go to 4 and 8 of Philippians. 4 and 8 of Philippians. This will be my opening text. I want basically four words to start with here. It said, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, what if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I want to talk about think on these things. What are you thinking this morning? There's a woman, I know, older woman, she's about 85, sweet, couldn't get much sweeter, about everybody calls her granny, and she's just a grandma to everybody. And she claims to be a Christian, and she's a fine woman, and she loves something. She's very attracted to something, and that's OU women's basketball. She loves OU women's basketball. And her daughter-in-law said, she goes, when the basketball season starts, that all Granny thinks about is OU basketball. That's all she thinks about. Is that what we ought to think about? There's more to thinking than thinking about OU basketball, OU football, OSU football, LSU football, New Orleans football, the racing, Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Senior and all of that. When I moved to South Carolina in 1998, NASCAR wasn't big back in Oklahoma. We didn't even have any tracks close at that time that I knew anything about. They do have one in Texas now, I believe. But I moved out into South Carolina and Darlington Raceway is where the NASCAR started many, many years ago. And it's perforated with NASCAR. And I didn't realize it until I got down there. And the congregation wasn't so much, but all those that a pastor has to deal with around the edges with all the people that come to the congregation, they just was just all into NASCAR racing. Dale Earnhardt Sr. got killed about 2001, I believe it was, or 2000. And I tell you, you'd have thought somebody great died. I mean, they was having vigils at churches and all kind of things. All they could think about was Dale Sr. He got killed. I didn't even hardly know who Dale Sr. was. Well, I'm going to tell you, folks, today there's some things to think about. That's what we want to talk about this morning. There are better things to think about than some of this stuff things that people are thinking about. People's minds is in the gutter too much today. People's minds is not balanced like they ought to be today. People's minds need to get into a right flow and a right area whereby you will be more blessed, God will be blessed, the saints will be blessed, your family will be blessed if you and I are thinking on the right things. Getting down and getting involved. Why, Granny, thinking on OU basketball? Praise God, I got news for you. I got better things to think about than OU women football, thank the Lord. I'd rather think on Jesus Christ than Him crucified. Paul said over here, and I was going to look this scripture up, and I kept getting it. He said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellent speech and wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now then, he determined not to know anything. In other words, he set his sights on Jesus. He set his life on the gospel. He set his life on salvation and sanctification. He set his life on something valuable this morning. He wasn't interested in OU women basketball or NASCAR or football or basketball. He was interested in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's what Paul was interested in. Listen, folks, today, if we're going to go to heaven, we need to get our minds centered on Jesus. We need to get our minds centered on something that is better than a lot of this garbage. A lot of this stuff that is going on in the world today, we need to set our minds on something that's valuable, something that's eternal, something that's powerful, and something that will get us some blessings that go beyond everything else. Praise God. A number of years ago, I had a football game, OU football game, at home. They played Nebraska. I don't know who was number one, who was number two, but I think they were the top two teams in the country. And they played. And OU lost by, I think the score, if I remember right, 35-31. And I was told, and again, I don't know much about this, but I was told that after OU lost, people cried in the stands. Listen, folks, they're going to be better off crying at an altar. Forget the stands. Forget the losses. Let's get out of something valuable. Praise God. Paul was interested in knowing Jesus. And the way you're going to know Jesus, you're going to have to think about Jesus. You're going to have to think about the Word of God. You're going to have to center your mind on something that is going to be valuable, praise God, to eternal life and to salvation and sanctification and something that will bless you down in your soul. You can get hung up on some of these outer things, worldly things, and what was it? Well, let's turn to that scripture. I hadn't had this one down either. Let's go to Hebrews. I believe it's 11. It may be 12. Let me see. No, it's 11 here. He said, 11:25 Hebrews, he said, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, sin out there, people have some fun out there and have some pleasure out there, but it's only for a short span of time. It's not eternal. It doesn't go on and on and on. And so consequently, you and I need to hook into something that'll be eternal, something that will go on, something that'll be a blessing day and night, something that when you can't sleep at night, bless your heart, like Sister Peggy's having trouble sleeping at night, she can think on something good. She can think on the gospel, praise God. She can think on the songs of Zion. She can think on things that'll bless her down in the depth of her soul that nothing else will do, praise God. Oh, you basketball ain't going to do it. And I'm not up here to bash sports, folks, but I got news for you. There's something valuable for you and I to think on today, and that's something that'll do you something that'll help you and it'll give you some glory and some blessings that'll do you far beyond anything else. Praise God. All right, now then, let's look at Psalms 40. Psalms 40 and 5. No, yeah, 40 and 5. Psalms 40 and 5. He said, here, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they're more than can be numbered. The 17th verse of this chapter said, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Now, do you like somebody to think about you? If you're sick and afflicted, if you've got problems and woes, and somebody calls you, writes you, texts you or something, sends you a card or whatever, comes by and sees you and lets you know I've been thinking about you, does that bless you? Does that let you know, hey, somebody loves me. I'm in the battle and I'm needing help and I'm needing prayer and so forth. And they just told me they're praying for me. They're thinking about me. They want to be with me. When I was in the depths of grief with Rebecca, this was in March, I believe it was, after she died in January, somebody sent me an email, and they had some family come by. And they let me know, said, I'm thinking about you, and I'm praying for you. And all that meant so much to me. And they said the family was there, and they had some children there, and said, Brother Carl, some of the sweetest things those children said about you and praying for you. Little children. Now, they don't have no big fancy prayer, so to speak, but bless God, it gets to God. And that's what I needed. It didn't matter whether it's a high saint, so to speak, and what I mean by high, an older saint praying for me, or the bottom line, somebody was praying for this old boy, and I needed that. They were thinking about me. Listen, folks, we need to know that somebody's thinking about us. We need to know individually, folks, that we're thinking about one another. It's good to tell each other, I love you. I'm thinking about you. I want you to make it. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be happy. I want you to have victory. I want you to have power. I want you to make heaven. Sometimes we're too quiet with one another. We need to let each other know we love you. We love you. We're behind you. I got a card here a while back from somebody right here in this congregation. It was a real blessing to me. They let me know they've been hearing it, so forth, a message or something online. And not that I'm anything. But the bottom line was they let me know we appreciate it. We need more of that. Saints, we need to tell one another we're thinking about them. We need to tell one another we love you. We need to tell one another I appreciate you. We need to tell one another, let your pastor know that I love you, I'm behind you, I'm praying for you. A sister said one time, she was on a going to a meeting, and somebody was, she had the radio going, they had a crystal deal on, and a man on the radio said, you know, you need to pray for your pastor this morning. You need to get behind him, you need to let him know it. And she thought about it. So she went to the pastor's wife and said, well, I never even thought about that. Listen, folks, we're in a battle. We need to get in the battle. We need to get in the battle. We need to let everybody know, so to speak. And what I mean by that, we need to get into it. We need to pray for it back the preacher's house, whether it's a regular Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival, whatever it might be, camp meeting. We need to get in the battle, and we need to let that minister know, I'm behind you. I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. I want you to be able to deliver the gospel that God wants me to hear in this meeting. I'm wide open. Whatever the Lord says, sins, I want it to come my way. Now God's thinking about us. Thank the Lord. The Lord thinks about us. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter and the 11th verse. Jeremiah 29:11. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward thee, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The Lord wants you to make heaven worse than you do. He gave His life for you to make heaven. He's done everything in His power for you to make heaven. He gives dealings. He gives light. He gives understanding. He gives grace. He gives calling. He works with you and deals with you all down everybody's life. He wants you to make heaven. He's thinking about you having victory. He's thinking about what Scripture I can give. He's thinking about, well, I'm going to give them some peace. I'm going to give them some blessing. I'm going to give them some grace. I'm going to give them some help. Listen, the Lord thinking on us both. That's valuable. When you're down in the dump, so to speak, always remember the Lord thinking about you. He's thinking, He's wanting to help you, He's wanting to bless you, but are we receiving it? Are we wanting the help? Are we reaching out to God? Are we like Paul? I want to not to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm determined to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what I want to know. Listen, folks, today, that's where we'll get somewhere. We're thinking about Him. We're reaching out after Him. We want more of Him. You talk about some blessings to God, that'll bless Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. The Lord wants to be blessed by you and I this morning. He wants you to glorify Him. He wants you to lift Him up. He wants you to reach out after Him. Oh, today are we doing that? Are we really doing that? We were in a battle a number of years ago, and I was struggling, I was depressed, I was discouraged, I was down. Hadn't give up by any means, but I wasn't exactly what I call on top of the mountain either. And I was going to church one morning, I was the only one in the car, and the Lord spoke to me and He said, "You can't get victory like this." And I stopped and I thought, I wasn't thinking about Him really. I was thinking about me. I was interested. I was so down and so discouraged. The only one I was looking at was Carl Schaefer and him being down in the mully grubs of discouragement. And I wasn't looking up. He said, "You're going to have to look up, so to speak. Quit looking at yourself, child. Quit looking at your pain and your hurts and all this. Get to thinking about Jesus Christ and Him crucified." He said, "I'll lift up mine eyes in the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." I'm going to look up. I thought if I keep looking down, I'm not getting anywhere. But if I look up, praise God, if I reach up, if I begin to think on the great promises of God, begin to think on the power of God, begin to think on the workings of God and begin to look at that, that'll help. And it did. It began to pull me out of that thing. Began to come out of it. Praise God. You can't get victory this way, child. You got to look up. You got to start thinking about me. If you're in discouragement today, if you're in depression today, you need to start thinking about the Lord. You need to start thinking about what He can do. You need to start thinking about His power, His glory, His working. Listen, folks, He's been working for you a long time, and He'll keep working with you. And you need to reach out to Him. Reach out to Him and think about Him. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus. Well, I'm thankful that He's thinking about us, aren't you? And He's reaching out to us and helping us. All right, let's go to Matthew, the 9th chapter, and the 4th verse. And we desire your prayers. Thinking. What are you thinking about today? Well, let's just go 9 and 1. He entered into a ship, passed over, and came into his own city. And, behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Jesus, seeing their face, said to the sick of palsy, "Son, thy son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And, behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemeth." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sin be forgiven,' then, or to say, 'Arise and walk.' But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, 'Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine own house.' And he arose, and he departed to his house. When the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." Now, he said here, Jesus, knowing their thoughts. He said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" He knows our thoughts today, folks. He knows everybody's thoughts right now. He knows whether you're thinking about what I'm preaching or whether you're not. He knows whether your mind's over there on the job or in the kitchen or in the family or what it, what. He knows exactly where our thoughts are. We're not fooling God. He reads and understands the very depths and the intents of the heart. He reads it. He studies it. He knows it. And listen today, folks, your thoughts and my thoughts ought to please God. How does that scripture go over in Psalm? "Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable with Thee, O God." That's not quite all of it. But Lord, help us today that our thoughts and our things that we're thinking on is acceptable, is pleasing, praise God. These people wasn't pleasing the Lord. He was not happy with what they were thinking. Today, is He happy with our thoughts? Is He blessed with our thoughts? Listen, we have so much to think on today. We live in the busiest time probably of any time that's ever been. Everybody is so busy, they're so caught up, they're so captivated. But listen, folks, today we still need to think on the things of God. We still need to center our thoughts as best we can. And somebody said, well, I'm pretty busy. Now, I can do gender work, and I've done it for a number of years since I started in 1977 in January. And I can do janitorial work and think on the gospel or messages or I can pray. I can do all kinds of things because it is so repetitious to me now. I mean, it's nothing to dust. It's nothing to vacuum. It's nothing to... I mean, sometimes I have to look and be sure I've got all the streaks off the mirrors and the glasses and windows and so forth. But the bottom line is, it's a second thing to me. And I'm not bragging when I say that. It just is. But you put me in the carpenter work, that's a different ballgame. You got to think. You've got to get your mind in what you're doing that you don't cut a finger off. Or you don't hurt a hand. Or you don't do something or you misread a deal. How many times have any of you, brother, has measured something, and especially if you're looking at a tape upside down, discover you're looking at it wrong. Thinking this is the right measurement, and it's not. One man told me, said, measure twice or at least three times, cut once. In other words, be sure you're right on your measurement. Be sure it's exactly where it needs to be. Because in install work, when you're out there, if you cut it wrong, it's cut wrong, buddy, and you may not have a second chance. And the old company up there made that stuff for thousands of dollars. Ain't going to be too happy with you, I guarantee you. So I can think in the gender work with no problem. People can text me or call me and want prayer and so forth. I can pray, I can meditate, I can study. But in the install work, it's a different ball game. Sisters, with you cooking in the kitchen sometimes, some recipes probably takes your more attention than others. Some of you have cooked so many years that it's no problem. You just put things together and fix it and go. Just add a little this and add a little this. I've got to go by recipe. I use measuring cups and so forth. I don't do a little dash here, a little dash there, so to speak, because you guys have got much more experience than I do. But there could be a red velvet cake you got to think about. You got to look at that pecan pie. Or a brand new recipe has got to be thought about. You've got to get your mind into it. That's all right. I'm not condemning that. But the bottom line is today, Jesus knows exactly what we're thinking. He knows exactly where we're at in our experience. He knows exactly what we need to think about. Today, no doubt the Lord is trying to shift some people's thinking onto Him more, onto the gospel more, onto the Scripture more. Say, hey, here's your victory right here. Just like He spoke to me, you can't get victory this way. You got to look up, child. You got to look up, child. Look at me. Think about me. Oh, today, what are we thinking about? He knows what we're thinking. All right, let's go to John 5. John 5 and 36. And then to tie in with that, I want 2 Peter 1. John 5 and 36, was talking about John here, and then Jesus says, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father Himself has sent me, hath borne witness of me, and you have neither heard His voice at any time nor seen His shape, and you have not His word abiding in you. For whom He has sent Him, you believe not. Search the Scriptures. Can't you see Jesus just tell them, search the Scriptures? For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Now then, search the Scriptures. He's telling them, in them, in other words, in this, leaving Jesus out of it, so to speak. This is where you think eternal life is. Well, it is. But the bottom line is just more than that. He said, they witness of me. In other words, I'm in here too. This is part of me. We're trying to shift this plan over, so to speak, down to the glory of the plan of redemption, of salvation, of power, of glory that needs to be now. It's now, children. It's now, scribes. It's now, Pharisees. It's now, hypocrites. It's now, Jews. The gospel is here. I am the Jesus. And you need to think about me. You need to start looking at me. You need to think about me. You need to start following me. You need to start considering me. You guys have pushed me off and down me and done all kind of things and thought evil thoughts and thought less of me and so forth. But the bottom line is, I am the man. And I am here. And I'm right now. And the Scriptures testify of me. And this is all. You need to search it. You need to study it. You need to go after it. You need to work with it in every way you can. But don't forget me. Remember me. They testify me too. Well, when they got it all written and got the King James done, it's full of Jesus, praise God. It's full of Jesus and His power and His glory from A to Z. It's in there. It's talking about the One that come to do things that nobody else could do for mankind. And He's still doing them. And we need to think about Jesus. Think about Jesus. Think about what He can do for you today. All right, now then, let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1:12. It said, wherefore I will not be negligent to you to put you always in remembrance of those things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Now, you come to meeting, you get saved, you start reading and studying, you start listening, you start channeling your mind more into the gospel things as you're growing and growing. And then sometimes a minister will come along and he'll preach on this subject. And then after a while they come along another and it'll be preached the same subject maybe. Not identical, but maybe the same thought pattern. And you're thinking, well, I done got that down pat. He's trying to stir up your mind by way of remembrance. Let's see, where is it at? Hebrews. I hadn't thought about this one, but let's go to Hebrews. It's at the third chapter where it talks about, second chapter. Therefore, you ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, never transgressed and disobedient, received a just recompense reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them which heard Him? That heard Him. He said we ought to give the more earnest heed. Listen, we're going to hear things over and over. The Lord is stirring us up, folks. That's what these meetings are for. They're to stir us, they're to challenge us, they're to edify us, they're to bless us, they're to help us. And you and I need to get our thought processes into what God is trying to do. He's trying to take those truths that you've learned. He wants to deepen you. Now, there has been people that have thought their ways into being a billionaire. There have been people that have thought their ways into being a millionaire. There have been people that have thought their ways into making this and making that and designing this and designing that. And it didn't come because they sat down 5 minutes, so to speak. They put some thought into it. They got into it. Henry Ford didn't do what he'd done because he thought 5 minutes and took his wife and went out to dinner somewhere. He got into it. He kept thinking and he kept thinking and he kept thinking and he modernized and revolutionized things because of his thought pattern. There is people that has heard about there's golds in them hills over there. They had gold rushes in Alaska. They had gold rushes in California. And some people got to thinking, hey, I need to go do that. I don't know what I'm doing, But I'm going to go get some of that gold. I want to make some. And some of them got filthy rich out of it because they thought about, hey, I need to do it. Or some of them just got to thinking, I need to go pan and mine and dig and do so forth. And they begin to hit the gold mine or the gold streams and the silver streams and so forth. And they become very rich out of it because of that. They were thinking. They were in the thinking. They put legs to their thoughts, so to speak, and they went after it. There's gold in these Scriptures, folks. There's gold in the things. Search the Scriptures. And they testify to me, there's gold right here in this book. It's not that shiny stuff. It's better than that, praise God. And you and I need to search. We need to dig. We need to think. Listen, we can think. And the more we think and the more we meditate and the more we dig into it, the more blessed we can be, praise God. Because we're getting down into the things that counts in life. Listen, you need to weigh things out. What's the most valuable things you can think about? Eternal things. Salvation, sanctification, heaven, hell. The problem with people is they don't want to think about dying. They don't want to think about eternity. They don't want to think about heaven. They don't want to think, well, they might want to think about heaven, but they sure don't want to think about hell. Well, I'm just going to go on. I'm just satisfied in what I'm doing. Listen, folks, get your things off of the ball games and off the worldly things and get it on eternal things. People are so messed up today. There's so much things in the world that people are thinking about. They're not even giving the gospel. That's the reason many people have dropped out of meeting and going to church. I'm not talking about us particularly, but even out there in the worldly churches or the Babylon churches, there's people out there just dropped out. They don't want to have anything to do with it because they're so caught up in all the things of the world. Used to, people went to church for a social event. And what I mean by that, they went to see people. They went to be with people. Now then, there's so much stuff on the televisions, they don't have to go anywhere. Have you ever heard of a church called a Life Church? First, I really remember hearing much about it is my daughter went to one up in Kirksville, Missouri. And then a friend of mine has a daughter, married to a man named Joey, and he plays and sings in a band or a group or gospel group, whatever it is, for the Life Church. So, John took his wife and his mother and went to service. This is his daughter's husband's church. They've got one right there in Shawnee. I go by it probably 2 or 3 times a week. You talk about a crowd. Brother Michael, we had their crowd, we'd have no problem. They have 6-7 services on Sunday. It starts at a certain time. They have all afternoon and to the evening. They don't just have 2, they have them all through the day. I never heard of such. So John told me, he said, Carl, he said, I knew I was in trouble when they handed me earplugs when I walked in the door. How many of you ever had any earplugs when you walked in this chapel? And I said, well, what's it like? He said, oh, Carl, it was so loud, I couldn't hardly stand it. I asked Mama, do you want to switch? Oh, no, John, I don't want to go there. But here's the thing about it. They don't even have a live man preaching in the pulpit. Now, in Kirksville, they did. I didn't get anything out of it. Becky and I went, I want to see what my daughter's going to. I didn't agree with it, didn't approve of it, and still don't approve of it. But I thought, well, I'm going to check it out. I'm sure glad I had God because He's the one fed me that morning. He's the one that would bless me. It wasn't coming much out of what the man was saying, but it was the Lord. But anyway, John told me, he said, they got them big old TV monitors, whatever. And he said, it's live. And they beam that thing, and one man does all the preaching for all the churches clear across the nation, and he's in wherever he's at. I said, John, was it very good? He said he wasn't bad. Now, John's dad was a Baptist preacher for many years, so he's heard preaching most all of his life. Well, all of his life. He was born, I guess, his dad was a preacher. And he said it wasn't too bad. But I said, he wasn't there? Oh, Lord, help us. You have the privilege. And whatever we're worth up here, you have the privilege of seeing a live being preaching to you. You can actually hear something. For what mistakes we make in the pulpit and so forth, the anointing of God, the workings of liberty and freedom is right here in this pulpit. Listen, folks, today He said, stir up your mind by way of remembrance. I want you to get deeper. I want you to know more. I want you to think about what you've heard. Now, you got A and B. I want you to get C and D and E and F. I want you to get these things. Somebody said, well, Pastor, I've already heard that all of my life. That don't matter. Everybody else hadn't. There's young people coming on. They need to hear it. There's some new people in the group. They hadn't heard it. Oh, yeah. Well, I've not heard that. That's all right. Somebody hadn't heard it in here, and that's the reason the Lord's given it. He's coming back. He reiterates. And the reason He does it is to get you to thinking. The reason you come to me, you hear about heaven and hell, because it's real, folks. Heaven's real, hell's real, eternity's real, God's real, Christ's real, the Holy Ghost's real, and death is real. And you and I will deal with it someday. And that's the reason we, as the ministers, are called and have a burden for your souls to reach out, to try to help you, to deepen down. But you need to think. You need to think. You need to consider. You need to take home and remember what thus saith the Word of the Lord. All right, let's go back to Philippians. Fourth chapter, 8th verse. We'll read about 3 or 4 scriptures here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, he's saying here, there was a person one time grieving, and it grieved off and on all day long. And finally, they said, Lord, have mercy and help me. I need you. I need some comfort. I need some help. And they kept grieving, and then the Lord gave them this scripture right here, 4:8 of Philippians. Think on these things. Get your mind off of that. Get it on the Lord. Do you not know, and I'm sure most of you do, if you get to thinking on some negative things, does it not help to start praying and looking to the right source? Does it not help to start reaching out to God and say, Lord, help me? He can give it. It don't take anything for Him to be able to reach down with His power and His glory. One scripture He can so illuminate, just set you on fire. You can go from tears to shouting, praise God. You can go to rejoicing because God is beginning to come down and bless you. Think on these things. It's time, child, to get your mind on the right thing. Well, when the person began to reach out and begin to think and got his mind off of the grief part and everything, it began to change. Think on these things. God has the best things to think on in the whole world. Amen. He's got the most valuable, the most glorious, the most eternal, the eternal things to think on. And this is what He's interested in His children thinking on. And those of you, if you're not saved here in the morning, He wants you to begin to looking into the eternal things, the real things of life. One man said one time, South Carolina, we had had a gathering and we had finger foods. And he come along and he said, listen, folks. He said, I want some real food. And I looked at him. I love him dearly. He'd been very good to me. And I said, Randy. I said, what is real food? I want to see what he said. Rice. Beans. Meat. Not these little bitty wieners in a deal or some of that. I said, I want some real stuff. Listen, this has got the real stuff in it this morning, praise God. We're reading books sometimes that don't really do you any good. This does you some good, praise God, when the battles are on and so forth. And I'm not down in Reader's Digest, but I'm going to tell you, you need to get into thinking about something that will help you to get the victory, praise God. Think about something that will lead you, like Paul, closer to Jesus. I'm determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Listen, folks, that needs to be our thought pattern right here in this meeting. I want to know Jesus better, praise God. How do you know a person better? Spend time with them. Travel with them. There is people that have been with me so much, I just tell them, if you want to know something about me, you can go talk to them. They know me pretty good. They've been with me a lot. I can go to your wives or your husband. I can talk to them. They can tell me a lot about you. You know. But I'm going to tell you, you want to know about Jesus, you're going to have to think about Him, spend some time with Him. Get out on your knees, praise God. Get out and begin to meditate and begin to think and begin to get into the good things of the Word of God. And He give you this scripture and that scripture or this chapter or that thought or this thing. And He begin to open up doctrines to you and doing things for you that you never thought possible. But you got to get into it. You got to say, Jesus, I want more of You. I want what You've got for me. Are we doing that this morning? All right, 4 and 8, let's see here. It said, finally, comma, brethren. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, don't you like something that is true? I'm not interested in a bunch of lies. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Here's something true right here. The Word of God. Getting into, and I'm repeating myself somewhat, but I want to drive the point home, is getting into this Word and thinking on the true things of the Word of God. Things that are absolute. Something that you can stand on, said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. This truth is what we're going to have to stand on when eternity comes, folks. When you get down to facing death, you're going to have to use this and the blood and the grace of Jesus Christ, and that's going to get you across that chilly river and take you to heaven or wherever you go. But I'm going to tell you, it will be a blessing if you and I think on the true things of the Word of God. And on Jesus, thinking on Him. Purity. Our world is so saturated with everything that's filthy. There's not a lot of purity out there anymore. Bible said there, blessed are the pure in heart for what? What happens to blessed are the pure in heart? They go to hell? What does it say? They shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, for a while, I thought that was strictly you lived, you died, and you went to heaven. But it's more than that. Jesus is going to let His children, those that are living for Him, those that have got a relationship with Him, those are the ones that He's going to open up to all the depths of the Word of God. He's not going to reveal this thing to wicked minds. He's not going to reveal it to those that are full of lust and sin. He's going to reveal it to the ones that are pure-minded and pure-hearted and pure in every way. He's going to open this thing up and show them exactly what He wants them to have, because this Word of God is pure. And the only ones that can receive it are the ones that are pure. So consequently, if you want to get to the Word of God, you want to know it, you're going to have to get into the pureness of it, praise God. You're going to have to get saved and sanctified. And then He will open up. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's why Paul could get to the depths, because he was pure. Because he had been washed in the blood and Jesus had done something for him. Oh, what are you thinking on this morning? Are you thinking on the true things this morning? Are you thinking on the honest things? Do you like somebody that's honest? Or do you like to go to somebody that's dishonest? We was talking yesterday, some of us, and talking about mechanics. Two of the brothers talking about men that had worked on their cars. And one man's telling, he said, man, he's just honest. He just done that. He just liked that. If you come to me and I give you a dishonesty about spiritual things, would you be happy about it? Or if you come to me and I just laid it out by the Word of God, even if it ripped, cut, and hurt, would you be happy with that? It was honest. The only way we're going to get to heaven is being honest, folks. We're going to have to be honest. There is people that go to a minister and he gives them the truth. He gives them the Bible, and they don't like what he tells them. So they go to all these other preachers. Brethren, let me tell you, I only got two of them beside me here, but if you ever do any counseling, stick to the Word of God. Because they're wanting a loophole, they're wanting a way out, they're wanting an easier way, but if you stick to the Word, they can't get nothing but the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and that'll get them to heaven. Oh, Lord, help us. Somebody come to me many years ago, him and his wife, they were having problems. They didn't like what I told them. I don't know how many they went to, but they come back after a while. And I said, well, I said, what'd they tell you? Said the same thing you did. Thank the Lord. Those two right now have been a blessing to the church. Because everything was honest and above board. If it hadn't, folks, the bottom line of that thing could have gotten extremely ugly. Extremely. And it got down to about 2 o'clock in the morning one morning, and finally the wife surrendered. The wife humbled totally. And when she did, and the minister began to pray with her, the sister minister, and I guess it was just the sister minister, began to pray, and God began to work. And from that point, things started changing. But if it hadn't, it was going to get bad. It was already getting bad, real bad. Honestly, whatever things are just. Oh, today, what's right, what's pure, what's lovely, loving, amiable, endearing. Those things which are of a good report. I'm running out of time. I don't have time to get into all what this is dealing with totally. But today, what are you thinking on? There is so many good things to think on that if you put that, it'll drive the negative away. It'll begin to raise you up. It'll begin to encourage you and lift you and bless you. There was a man in a congregation that his mother was a mess when he was a child, and it had quite an effect on him. And he got up and he got grown and he got married and he got into a place that he even considered taking his own life. It was so bad. He was so depressed. He got into a spirit of depression and so forth. And it was horrible. He said it was so bad. He even went to doctors and he was doing everything he could do. Finally, he met the Master. And Jesus broke that thing. And Jesus brought him up and out and saved him and began to help him and work with him. And he come out of that thing. And he said, it's been years, like 30, 40 years. Been quite a while now. And he can't thank God enough for what he done for him. He said it was so bad. He said the darkness, the depression, all that was horrible. Oh, today, what are we thinking on? There's a lot of things you can think on, but I beg you to think on eternal things. I beg you to get into the Word of God. Ever hear that song, Dust on the Bible? You know that song's pretty true in a lot of ways. Now, it may not be in saints' homes, but I've cleaned a lot of homes. And I've seen a lot of books in my time. And there could be dust on the Bible in these people's houses. And other books too, not just the Bible. But that lets you know if it's very thick in particular, you know, if I'm just going ever so often, if it's there all the time and I've got to clean it, I keep it clean all the time. But if it is something that I've gone to there one time and I get to looking, I've been made sad because of what I've seen. They're not using this good old book. They're not reading out of this good old book. Oh, today, let's get into the real thinking. Something that will really help you spiritually. All right, let's wrap it up. Two more places and I'll be through. 12 and 3 of the good book of Romans. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, sometimes people have to deal with pride. The devil gets to working. A little pride gets to slipping in. And it's out there in the world big time. It's out there in other places big time. But he's saying here, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. What is that saying? The bottom line is, you are what you are by the grace of God, and that's all you are. Boy, we get to thinking, man, I can preach, or I can teach, or I can sing. One woman come to the altar one time, and a minister's wife and a minister went down to deal with her, and they said, well, what's your problem? She said, I got pride. Well, what's your pride in? Said my singing. And the minister looked at her straight in the eye and said, ma'am, said, if you was to sing for pie, you wouldn't even get a piece. He stripped her down pretty good right there. That's what she needed. Sometimes the devil trying to slip in some pride. But folks, I want to tell you to think soberly. Where do we get what we've got? It ain't because of who we are. It's because of who He is that's given us all the light, all the understanding, all the grace, all the faith, the salvation, sanctification, and everything to go with it come from Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And yet we get to thinking, well, I'm a Williamson, or I'm a Flynn, or I'm a Sammons, or I'm a Schaefer, or a Clevenger, or whatever. I get to thinking, I'm born into this family, I'm somebody. We ain't nobody, folks. We're that big. And I'm not down in any of you families. I love all of you down here. But the bottom line is, let us think soberly. Where it all come from? Come from Him. It come from Him. You get to thinking you can sing or you can whatever. Just remember where it come from. And let me tell you, He can let you flop flat out as fast as He wants to. As one minister said, if I'd have went into the pulpit. No, if I... Let's see, how was it? If I'd have come out like I went in, I'd been better off. In other words, he got up there and made a total flop, and he learned a lesson real quick. All right, let's finish out 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, kind of on the same line as this scripture here. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Sometimes we get to thinking that we're pretty strong. Been around a long time. Been saved many years. And if you're not careful, you get to depending too much on yourself and not enough on the grace. Not enough on His power. We need to think, again, what He is versus us. He created us. Who created who? He created us. And consequently, He's the one that holds life, both in salvation and in life. He holds that in His hands, and if He pulls that back, we're going to fall flat out. We can go out into eternity that way. We can backslide that way. If we get to thinking too big of who we are, I've been around a long time, I can just do it. Can you? Can we really do it? Take heed how you stand, lest you fall. We need to reach out to Jesus, folks. We need to pray. We need to reach out. We need to beg. We need to plead. We need to do whatever we need to do to be what He wants us to be. Because we are, and that's what Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God, and that's all we are. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers today. Pray for me. What are you thinking on today? Oh.